You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. A very good Sunday as well. We've got racing at Kelso and Huntingdon on the domestic front. Action over in Ireland at Cork and Punchestown, including the Grade 1 John Durkin Memorial. We've also got the Hilly Way. We've got the Peterborough Chase as well. Real good day of jumps racing this Sunday. And it'll be Ollie Pimlott, Paddy Aspel and John Budden in the studio there live from 12:05 right now on this William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Mark Walton joined by Kate Tracy. How are you, Kate?
I'm really good, thank you. Yeah, chance to finally catch my breath after today's manic action, but it's been really, really good and very entertaining.
It has. It's been a really good Saturday of racing. We've had two Grade 1s at Sandown. We've had racing over the national fences. We've had a really good, on paper, Grade 2. We'll talk about that in a bit more detail at Aintree as well. But we will start with the big race of the day, the 3 o'clock at Sandown. And we were treated to a great finish in the Tingle Creek.
Underso and Effie de Soy, they race towards the final fence, together in the air. Underso far side, Effie de Soy now hits the front, waiting patiently back in third, running on well up the hill. Effie de Soy, Underso is trying to fight back on the far side, waiting patiently, finishing well, but it's Effie de Soy who just wins the Tingle Creek. Underso carried out on his shield in second. What a run, and waiting patiently, finishing strongly in third.
Yeah, Effie de Soy just holding off Underso, waiting patiently, running a massive race in third as well. It was a brilliant finish to what on paper was going to be a great race, and it really was on the track as well. It was brilliant.
It was so much everything you could have hoped for this Tingle Creek. When we saw the lineup, we knew how competitive it was going to be, and you always hope for a finish as we got in the Tingle Creek. But rarely does it actually sort of pay off as well as you hope. But fantastic. Effie de Soy is just a superstar. He will go on any ground. He jumped for fun early on. And then I still think he's very much a proper 2.5 miler. But I think that Connections have just decided to drop him back into the 2 mile division because it is such an open division now of Altior stepping out and, well, for the time being, yeah, stepping up in trips. So I think they just want to take advantage of that whilst they've got a horse who's still got plenty enough pacing in him. He just seems to run all of his best races, as he showed in the Schlur Chase last time out, over the final 2 furlongs. And he showed it again today. He Underso ran an absolute cracker, as we had hoped he would do. He always does. But on ground, that definitely would have suited him today because it was very testing out there. And he only went down by a neck in the end to Effie. But Effie, he's terrier-like. He's so tiny, but he just manages to win, and he just loves winning. And also a blinding run by Waiting Patiently. He just had everything that could have gone wrong last season went wrong. But the fitted cheek pieces today, and he was just gassy early on, bit of freshness on this first up back for quite a long time. And he's run up to the form that we had hoped this time last year he would have showed, obviously, this time last year when he was going into the King George at such fancy. So really good decision by Ruth Jefferson to take him back down to 2 miles again. And, you know, it almost paid off because he was finishing very well.
He was, and obviously because he stays further, all his best work late on. Do you think he will now go back up in trip for some other prizes? Do you think this was just testing the water maybe over 2 miles? Or
yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah, it's I doubt they'll, you know, step him massively up to go for the King George again this year. But it's, where do you go with him now? Or do you keep him over the 2 miles? Because he has run so well, admittedly, though, staying on the best and being fresh early on, which, you know, wouldn't have helped him out too much. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I actually wouldn't like to guess where he's going to go because, yeah, I didn't see him coming back to 2 miles in the first place, so I'm not sure what Ruth Jefferson's going to do with him.
Effie de Soy, the winner of the Tingle Creek, returned 2-1, the favourite on the day, beating Underso 3-1 and waiting patiently, running a blinder there. In third at 11-1. In terms of quotes for waiting patiently, 16s for the Ryanair and 16s for the Queen Mother, so two different trips to consider on the quotes as well there. And yeah, we'll see where he ends up next. Interesting to see where Esprit de Large goes next as well, because he was a big winner for Evan Williams and Adam Wedge in the Henry VIII.
Esprit de Large and Adam Wedge still going on strongly. Here now is the final fence. Esprit de Large from Nubi Negra. Great jump by both of them. Esprit de Large on the near side. Nubi Negra trying hard far side. Esprit de Large drifting a little bit offline. Nubi Negra with a strong run up the hill towards the line. Esprit de Large very gamely wins the Henry VIII novices chase. In second, Nubi Negra. A big gap to Grand Sansibac in third. Torpillo.
Yeah, Esprit de Large winning at 14-1, beating Nubi Negra, who ran a big race in second at 9-2. Grand Saunce was third at 9-2, but he's ended up winning by a length and three quarters, Esprit de Large, and he was really strong at the finish.
He was, and that was no fluke either. He was just given a very Adam Wedge style ride. You know, obviously he very much has learned from the old Paul Maloney style, and he gave him another really nice ride, very patient, just as he showed at Exeter when he won last time out in a start before this. But I kind of felt going into this, I didn't really know how to weigh up that form in comparison to the others, because he, to me, the form that he had shown beforehand didn't really stack up. So he went very much under the radar, I think, for everybody. From a betting perspective, but there was no fluke in that, because he's beaten a very, very good horse in Nubi Negra from the Skelton Yard into second by almost two lengths. So Nubi Negra has run fantastically well again, and I really like him still going forward. I don't think he's lost much in defeat there, and I think he'll be better off on better ground again, as both of those wins this season at Warwick and Fakenham have both come on good ground. And obviously it was testing enough there today on soft ground, but he's run very, very well. And yeah, Esprit de Large, he's the horse who's just sort of burst onto the scene of the 2 mile novice chase division. So he's going to be definitely one to track, because I think he'll only improve again on the back of this, and he's really stamped his authority.
Yeah, he's a grade one winner over the fences. Now he's been given a quote of 20-1 for the Arkle here at William Hill. So nice big price if you fancy him to go and do it again at the Cheltenham Festival. Let's talk about action over the Grand National fences next, though, because we're looking back on some of the racing at Aintree, and we'll start with the Beecher Chase, because it was a familiar face home in front.
The final fence of the Beecher. Walk in the Mill is away and clear. Adam A was over in second. Kimberlite Candy is staying on, followed by Alpha Des Obeaux. Then Lebroy, Vieux Lion Rouge, definitely red, and one for Arthur, continuing to stay on. But it is Walk in the Mill for James Best and Robert Walford, who come around the elbow with a lead now of some five lengths over Kimberlite Candy and Richie McLennan. And they're still staying on, clear of Alpha Des Obeaux and definitely red. A half furlong to go. Walk in the Mill still leads by three lengths and driven out towards the line. Back to back wins in the Beecher for Walk in the Mill.
Second Beecher in a row for Walk in the Mill. He's returned 8-1 for Robert Walford and James Best. Kimberlite Candy second at 11s. Alpha Des Obeaux was third at 12-1, and definitely red in fourth at 8-1 here at William Hill as well. You could have got five places. So if you backed one for Arthur, who finished fifth, the former Grand National winner, then you'll be able to collect there as well. And stepping up in triple obviously suit one for Arthur going forward. But we know Walk in the Mill loves this race. He loves it over these fences. And it's just great when you see these horses come back and defend their crowns in the National Hunt game.
It is. It's so much so. That's why we all love the National fences, is because you see all these familiar faces and just certain horses just come alive over them. And he ran a very similar race to last year. He was off of a really nice mark again this year, because he won by four lengths last year and was only off of £4 higher this time around. So, and we know that he takes to the fences. He ran really well in the actual National as well. And this year just gone, finishing fourth. So he absolutely loves it here. He jumped. I don't think he made a mistake the whole way around from what I could see. And yeah, he's run out a really readily winner in the end. He's just, and you can see how game and gutsy he is in the finish. He really sticks his head down and plugs on. So, and also I just felt going into this that this definitely wasn't a case of getting him a sighter at the National fences, because off of his March day of 141, you know, they're not trying to save that mark, because that mark would barely scrape him into the National. I think he just got in last year. I think he was the final reserve to get in last year. So they're not trying to save his mark. So obviously they were going for the win today and hoping for a result so that he definitely gets into the National. So that obviously all routes will be leading to there now, and he should have a really good chance under his very, very willing partner James Best. So you could see afterwards just how much that this win meant to him. He loves it. Yeah, with the, I think he did the triple windmill as well. Tanev Line, I'm absolutely delighted for him, because no one works harder than Bestie. So yeah, really, really cracking win. And as you say, one for Arthur, we knew it going into this, didn't we, that he wanted a lot further than this again. But yet again, he's run another cracking race. He's such a likeable horse, because so often, apart from obviously the exception of Tiger Roll, horses that win the National, we barely see them coming back again, let alone to sort of the form that they showed previously. But he's run really well there. And I was really impressed by Kimberlite Candy in second, because I was very doubtful over Kimberlite Candy's jumping, if it was going to stand up to the National fences. But he jumped really well throughout and stayed on well in the end. So going forwards, that was a lovely introduction to the National fences for him.
In terms of walking the mill, by the way, 20-1 now for the Grand National. And who's to say won't run well in the race again? Might even go and win it this year. That's on the William Hill website. If you fancy a bet there, we've got we had the Grand Sefton over the National fences as well. And in this race, there was a runaway winner.
They're racing towards the elbow. Tom Cannon and Hogan's Height are out in front. Thibaut Bay and Henry Brook in second. On the outside, Wishful Dreaming and Jonathan England. They're straightening up with just over a half furlong to go. And Hogan's Height, running over the Grand National fences for the first time, has jumped them with aplomb. He's run them ragged. A winner for Jamie Snowden and Tom Cannon. Hogan's Height has won the Grand Sefton. It's going to be close for second between Bow Bay and Wishful Dreaming, followed in fourth.
Yeah, very easy the end for Hogan's Height. A big success for Jamie Snowden and Tom Cannon. Went on to win by 16 lengths. Wishful Dream just about getting the better of Bow Bay for second and third respectively, but it was all about Hogan's Height in the end.
Yeah, he's been set out for this, should have really seen it. I think this has been a very, very shrewd plan by Jamie Snowden for Hogan's Height, because his last chase mark, he was running off of 137. He was back down on 134 today, and on the back of three hurdle starts. He finished off last season with two wins in two hurdle starts, and then came out this season with a nice pipe opener at Aintree in a conditional jockey's handicap hurdle, where it just seemed to be keeping his chase mark nicely about where it was, so around the 134 marker, but also just giving him a run and giving him a bit of a confidence boosting run. So I think it's a very, very clever plan by Jamie Snowden. And as you say, he's run out a resounding winner, and it just, you could see it before they were turning into the home straight, that it felt like it was a matter of how many lengths, because again, he jumped so well. And Wishful Dreaming, I'm delighted with him actually, because I was questionable. I did fancy him for this at an each way price. He finished obviously 16 lengths second, but I just didn't quite trust if his jumping was going to stand up to this, because in the past he has known to be making a few errors. However, he ran really well on his last time out to Aintree in a handicap chase, where he finished third, and that was a very good run. So he's a really likeable horse, and he definitely took to the fences as well. And coming from a position as well that was fairly off the pace, and it looked as though Jonathan England was just sort of giving him a nice sighter at the fences more so than anything. Then he's run on nicely to finish second, albeit a well-beaten second. But as I said, I think Hogan's Height was probably laid out for this race, so I don't think there's too much lost in defeat there. So one to look forward to next time.
Yeah, I napped Wishful Dreaming on the William Hill Naps table, and for a moment I was thinking I might have a bit of a chance, but then... Yeah. But then Hogan's Height's just kicked away from them, and it's like, oh well, an honourable second
shout.
It is.
Yeah, that was a shout and a half there. Yes. I wasn't brave enough. When I saw the prices going up, I wasn't brave enough to tip him up for it.
Well, still minus one on the Naps table though, which is unfortunate. Yeah, he's run a good race there in second. Credit to Hogan's Height though, he's won it very easily in the end. One more race I want to get your thoughts on just before we move on to Sunday's action. I won't bother with the commentary for this, because it was a very facile win in the end for Native River, so it wouldn't have made much of a commentary highlight. But he's won the Many Clouds Chase by 33 lengths in the end. Black Cotton second best, Outlander third of the three that finished. We must mention that Mike Bite sadly unseating, and that great match that we were looking forward to just never materialised.
I know, it was kind of a bit of a damp squib really at the end, wasn't it, from a viewing perspective. But it's just Nico de Boinville was so unlucky because Mike Bike made the mistake, and I think he would have sat it if his saddle hadn't have slipped. But you could see the whole way when Mike Bike was cantering around then, the saddle had completely gone. So gave Nico de Boinville absolutely no chance. But Native River, first time blinkers today. And going into this race, I kind of felt that maybe this was just sort of a pipe opener en route to the Welsh National, thinking that that might be the route to go down to. Almost from a cynical point of view, because I felt that because of Tizard's other runners he has going for the Welsh National, almost definitely Elegant Escape and West Approach, I thought that they might be setting him up by having Native River in there, going off top weight and giving the other two a great chance. Obviously, that's a pretty cynical point of view, but just kind of felt that. And then obviously I saw when they declared him that he had the blinkers on, I was like, oh no, he's definitely going for this to reassert his name in the graded contest and to get a win under his belt, which was really, really refreshing to see, obviously, on the back of last season where he was running well in defeat on those two starts. But he's just such a likeable horse. He jumped so well. I think Dickie really did still have to get after him, even with the blinkers on. But, you know, it was a very straightforward job. So it's hard to kind of assess what he really gained out of that, because Black Horton, he's a great horse. He's a lovely, lovely horse. But I don't think he's quite up to this standard, a grade one or a grade two horse. But so we never really got to see how Black Horton or Outlander jumped, because they were so far behind that we actually didn't really get a sight of them from the cameras. But straightforward enough for Native River. And whether he goes for the Welsh National now on over with top weight, or what sort of the plan's going to be, because I doubt they'll go for the King George with him. I'd be surprised if they did. So yeah, it's going to be interesting bit of placement now about where he's going to go. But yeah, did absolutely nothing wrong, didn't even make a mistake.
He's 10-1 for the Welsh National now, by the way, and 20-1 for the Cheltenham Gold Cup, bidding to regain the Gold Cup, which only Corto Star has ever done before. Paddy Aspel, by the way, I spoke to him earlier on in the week, and he, before the declarations mentioned blinkers or anything like that, he was saying, I hope they put blinkers on, and if they do, I think he'd win. And then I noticed when the final decks came through, they had put the blinkers on. Paddy Aspel knows stuff.
Yeah, he knows. Who is he talking to?
Yeah.
That's the first thing he said this morning when he walked into the studio. Actually, goes, well, first of all, we called him Mike Bite. He goes, Mike Bite, it'll be fair hard to peg back with these blinkers on. I was like, Native River? Oh, yeah, that one. Oh, you're fairly confident about this then, if you're getting the name right.
Brilliant. Let's move on to Sunday's action. And sometimes Sundays are a little bit dull and a little bit drab, but not this Sunday. This Sunday is spectacular. We've got another grade one to look forward to at Punchestown. We've got a grade two in the shape of the Peterborough Chase at Huntingdon, which is always a very good race. And we've got the Hilly Way at Cork as well, which down the years has had some pretty good winners. So we'll go through them in chronological order. 150 at Punchestown is the John Durkin Memorial Punchestown Chase, and the favourite is Min, 4-5, bidding to win it for a second year in a row. Presenting Percy, 5-1, 13-2 Real Steel, Shattered Love, 11-1, 14s for Duke de Geneva, which I can never ever say first time, 25-1 Annabelle Fly, Hardline 25s as well with Snow Falcon, and Voada Rev, the outsider, at 33-1. I know we've got a short price favourite in Min, and he does deserve to be so, but it is a great renewal because six or seven of these have massive claims on their best. We've got numerous grade one winners in there. This is a belting race.
Really, really cracking race. Really exciting. And just enough of a question mark over some of these horses' heads as well, albeit they are obviously exceptional horses on their best day. So really, really exciting renewal. And yet Min at the top of the market, won this last year with Shattered Love behind in second. Then he followed that up with an even more impressive win in the Dublin Chase on his next start, but was fairly disappointing in the Queen Mother, where he was fifth, obviously Outie or won it that day. However, he came right back to himself in the JLT over 2.4 at Aintree, where he absolutely bolted up from Politolog 20 lengths behind in second and waiting patiently in third. So I guess if you're looking at the form from a Tingle Creek today, if you want to backdate it that much, not so great for Politolog, good for waiting patiently. So can't really read too much into that. Was second on his last start of last year, where he was second behind the Super Game Underso, who was back to his very best that day. He's obviously run a cracking race today in the Tingle Creek. The front two pulled far clear of the rest of the finishers, and Min just looked outpaced in the finish by the older horse. So the step up, back up to 2.4, definitely looks to be his optimum trip, and all conditions look to be very much in his favour. So you can understand why he is the short price favourite, but he is very short considering the horses in behind him. And, you know, presenting Percy next in the market there, you know, the mystery horse, inverted commas, as he's always been dubbed. He went lame in the Gold Cup at this year's festival after being really well backed and actually going off favourite for the race. You know, he was the talking horse before the festival this year. That Patrick Kelly's keeping him so secretive behind closed doors, jumping fences the wrong way when he's schooling, and every sort of a little conspiracy theory about him. But obviously it didn't materialise because he went lame in the Gold Cup. So I'm just going to draw a massive line through that run. Not going to read into it. He's been off ever since that, so he's had plenty of time to fix the issue. He goes well fresh, and Patrick Kelly will be sure to have him tuned to the minute for this. Obviously he was the RSA winner two festivals ago, where he was super impressive and has always looked like a quality horse. So for me, at the prices, I'd be siding with presenting Percy. Even though obviously this is a drop down in trip, because he does look like he is very much a three miler, but first time out, if he's showing the form that we know he has got, then I think he could go very, very close. Duke de Geneva in there. See, I almost got it. I almost did it for the first time. I got stuck on the Duke. Duke. yeah, I don't know. He's a funny horse, isn't he? I think he's a bit moody, to be honest, of a horse. Obviously, he was the Arkle winner this year and was a very impressive winner in that. But to be fair now, that race did fairly fall apart. And even though he was very, very impressive up the hill, visually so impressive, the way he powered off. And I thought, oh gosh, this is a real superstar here. But I don't know, it just seems to be, if he doesn't get his way, he seems to down tools a little bit. When, you know, he wasn't good last time out in the Fortria Chase, or he just didn't jump well and weakened out of it far quicker than you would have liked to have seen as well. So for me, I couldn't quite trust Duke. I'm going to do it now every time. I actually used to be able to say his name as well. Duke de Geneva. Yeah, and Shattered Love. The form of Shattered Love's last win wasn't helped in the first race of Aintree today, actually, by Listen Dear, who finished second behind Shattered Love last time out, but finished very tamely at Aintree today. However, Shattered Love obviously absolutely trounced her last time out in the Mayor's Listed Chase. She bolted up by 34 lengths, and she did look back to her best. So she could be one just slightly under the radar, but again, a little bit too untrustworthy, I think.
Yeah, it is, like you said, there's a fair question mark about a few of them, but on their best, if any of them can bring their A game, then they'd be capable of winning. So just to summarise, do you go with presenting Percy?
I'm going to go with presenting Percy, yeah, just because of the value more so than anything. Min back to himself wins all day, but because of the slight question marks and also the hidden presenting Percy, you have to go with value.
Presenting Percy, and each way bets are nothing really at 5-1 at the moment, providing he runs. I can't see him being out the front three if he runs to form. So yeah, I get that angle there. 2 o'clock at Huntingdon is another very good race. This is the Peterborough Chase, a Grade Two over 2.5 miles. Top notch, the favourite at the time of recording this at 2-1, narrowly shading favouritism over Le Bagawar at 9-4. 11-4 Acer, Born Survivor 9-1. Charbel is 14-1, and 50s for Corto Rico. Do you see between Top Notch, Le Bagawar and Acer, as the market suggests?
I do, yeah, unfortunately I do. I love Charbel, but not for this. Yeah, and I'm going to just side with Le Bagawar. I think she's the only reason she's not going off favourite is because of that last run in the Charlie Hall. But, you know, it's been well documented ever since that she didn't run her best because she was reportedly in season, and she wouldn't have appreciated the testing ground first time out either. So this is a far more suitable contest for her. Back on better ground over 2.4 miles, and she's also obviously got the mare's allowance as well of £7, so that will also be in her favour. And I just think on everything she did last season, she just looked top quality. And Top Notch, I think, is a cracking horse, absolutely little legend of a horse, but I just think if you gave them both sort of a scale of class, I just think Le Bagawar is still miles ahead, albeit, as I said, Top Notch is a little dude. Yeah, obviously, and onto Top Notch, yeah, really, really game horse, isn't he? Showed a fantastic attitude last time out to beat Roxana over hurdles at Aintree. He led that day and was so tough in the finish. He was just fending off challengers left, right and centre up the run-in. It's well reported that he's Daryl Jacobs' favourite horse in training, and that he's going to have him when he retires, have him in his back garden. And he absolutely worships the ground this horse walks on. So he will definitely not go down without a fight. And if Le Bagarois does have another off day, of course, he's the first horse who's going to capitalise on that. So can see it between being between those first two. The one who I'm not sure about in the betting is Aso. Just he was, you know, third in the Charlie Hall. Don't think he will necessarily appreciate this drop in distance, though. And in my opinion, on their bare ratings, obviously he's 1.68. I think he's probably one of the more overrated horses in racing because of that rating. I do think he's a good horse, but he was a 1.50 horse, and then he won two decent enough handicaps, and suddenly he hiked up to a rating of 1.63 and is now running off 1.68. So it looks like he's well off in the weights in this. However, I just think his mark flatters him, really, in terms of what he's actually achieved. Although he was a good second in the Ryanair at this year's festival, and then third when it looked like he needed the run last time out in the Charlie Hall. But I think he is a bit flattered by his mark. I don't actually think he is a 1.68 horse. So in the market, he'd be the one that I wouldn't be keen on backing at all.
And the selection is Le Bagarois?
Le Bagarois, yep. For me, yes.
Okay, that was the Peterborough Chase. And briefly, just having a quick look at the Hilly Way. Shouldn't take too long, because there's only three runners potentially here. We do have us and them still in the declarations, but ran on Saturday, so we're not sure if Joseph O'Brien's runner is going to turn up here. Ballyasheen, Chileos Emery and Greatfield, the other three in the lineup. Who do you think comes out on top?
I can't really see too far past Ballyasheen, to be honest. Yeah, very good last time out, and he was an easy winner of the Grade 2 Fortria Chase with the very useful a Plustard or a Plutard, however you want to pronounce it. I feel weird saying a Plutard, so I'm going to go a Plustard. Comfortably beaten in second.
I think it is a Plutard, though, isn't it?
I think it is, but I feel weird saying it. Plutard. It just sounds, I don't know, strange. A Plutard I'll go with for the rest of the time. Yeah, Plutard is obviously the very impressive winner of the Close Brothers at this year's Cheltenham Festival and is a top horse. But Ballyasheen is a course and distance winner as well, back in October 2017 in a graded handicap chase, and just really enjoys a flat 2 miles, which it is at Cork. So I think all factors are all definitely in his favour. Silos Emery will throw down the biggest challenge. Willie Mullins has a great record in this race. He was a really good last time out at Nace in the Poplar Square, where he demolished Ornua in second, which was really impressive on his seasonal reappearance. He's 2 from 2 over fences, and the form of his win on his last start of last season in a 2 mile beginner's chase at Goren has worked out well, with Duc de Geneva back in third and Impact Factor in second, who went on to win a graded novice handicap chase next time out. So between those two, Greatfield, obviously the other runner in the race, stablemate of Silos Emery, isn't quite the terror he once was. And yeah, he's... I just see him just finishing in third, albeit he has obviously got a lot better in terms of temperament, and also he's managing to tidy up his jumping errors a little bit, which seemed to just blight his 2018-19 campaign. So hopefully he'll carry on jumping around, and as we said, us and them ran today, so I'd be very surprised if he goes there tomorrow, albeit he is currently declared.
Yeah, could go out and have a little lob round in fourth and get 3,000 €400 if they wanted to, but
yeah.
Anyway, we'll see how they turn up on the Sunday. Ballyasheen, the selection, would have been the selection whether us and them ran anyway, wouldn't it, I presume?
Yeah, definitely.
So it doesn't change all that much. Ballyasheen, the pick there then in the Hilly Way to go along with Le Bagarois in the Peterborough Chase, and presenting Percy in the John Durkin Memorial. It's going to be a very good racing. Thank you very much, Kate. I hope you enjoy it.
Not at all. I'm sure I will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Kate Tracy on Sunday's racing. You can hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:05 PM. A very good day with Kelso, Huntingdon, Cork and Punchestown. Ollie, Paddy and John, the team in the studio, do join them for that. It's a very good day. You don't want to miss it. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.